It's the Old Man Yells at Music podcast, a show about big and little hits from the 70s, 80s and 90s in the US, UK and Canada. Also forgotten albums, pop music on TV, and more. I'm your announcer, Annie Stewart, and here's the old man himself, Roger Stroop.
Hello and welcome to episode 137 of the Old Man Yells at Music podcast. I'm Roger Stroop. Today we're looking at the charts of July 6, 1996. Around this time, scientists at the Roslin Institute in Midlothian, Scotland, introduced the world to Dolly the sheep. Dolly was the first mammal to be cloned, created using a single cell from an ovine mammary gland. Dolly died 7 years later, and her creation has led to breakthroughs in stem cell research. But human cloning still seems very far from becoming reality. Let's look at the culture beyond virgin wool. At the movies, this month's big release would be the year's highest-grossing film, Independence Day, the story of the world coming together to fight the aliens who blew up the White House. It cemented Will Smith as a movie star and confirmed Jeff Goldblum as the guy you get to play the guy who knows something bad is about to happen but nobody listens to until it's too late. Other movies that did well at the box office included Phenomenon, with John Travolta as a mechanic who becomes a genius with telekinetic powers because of something from space. Courage Under Fire, in which Denzel Washington investigates whether dead Army Captain Meg Ryan should be the first woman to receive the Medal of Honor. And A Time to Kill, a Southern courtroom drama based on a John Grisham book that gave Matthew McConaughey his biggest role to date, opposite Sandra Bullock and Samuel L. Jackson. And a big British hit also made its North American debut, Trainspotting, a look at a group of Scottish drug addicts that was Ewan McGregor's breakthrough film. Other movies out in July of 1996 included Harriet the Spy, an adaptation of the Louise Fitzhugh children's book, starring the girl who later played Buffy the Vampire Slayer's little sister, Kazam, with basketball star Shaquille O'Neal as a wisecracking genie who lives in a boombox, the unintentionally topical Michael Keaton cloning comedy Multiplicity, the prison escape caper Fled with Lawrence Fishburne and Stephen Baldwin, the Michael J. Fox ghost-based horror comedy The Frighteners, perhaps best known now as the last movie Peter Jackson directed before The Lord of the Rings, The Adventures of Pinocchio, starring Home Improvement's Jonathan Taylor Thomas as the wooden boy who has a problem with the truth, Joe's Apartment, an MTV-backed musical comedy with Vern from Stand By Me and a bunch of singing and dancing cockroaches, and Kingpin, Bobby and Peter Farrelly's follow-up to Dumb and Dumber, with Woody Harrelson as a washed-up ex-pro bowler and Randy Quaid as his Amish protege. In TV news, networks around the world were broadcasting the Summer Olympics from Atlanta, starting on the 19th and going all the way to August 4th. There was another notable TV moment and involved an Atlanta-based company. On the 7th of July, World Championship Wrestling held its Bash at the Beach pay-per-view event in Daytona Beach, Florida. In the main event, WCW stars Sting, Randy Savage, and Lex Luger faced Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and a partner whose identity they refused to reveal. Hall and Nash, who had recently left the World Wrestling Federation, where they played the roles of Razor Ramon and Diesel, had begun crashing, air quotes, WCW TV events, wreaking havoc, injuring an announcer, and threatening that they and their third man were coming to take over. Hall and Nash began the bout without their other team member, but they still managed to dominate the match, especially after Lex Luger suffered an injury that took him out of action. Just when all looked lost, Hulk Hogan, wrestling's ultimate hero, came to the ring, and most people watching assumed that he was there to replace Luger on the good guys team. But in a shocking turn, Hogan attacked Randy Savage and revealed that he was the third man. After the match, as angry fans threw garbage in the ring, Hogan told the crowd that he, Hall, and Nash were the New World Order of Wrestling, NWO for short, and that he turned his back on the fans because they weren't cheering for him as much as they used to. With the NWO as seemingly unstoppable supervillains, and the other WCW stars fighting to prevent them from running roughshod, WCW went on an 18-month run where they captured the bulk of the American wrestling audience and pushed the WWF to the brink of collapse. But mistakes like expanding the NWO to the point of becoming bloated and never giving the good guys a convincing victory with lasting consequences eventually led to the company losing hundreds of millions of dollars and ceasing to exist less than 5 years after Hogan's heel turn. On the bestseller lists, top fiction titles included John Grisham's latest, The Runaway Jury, The Tenth Insight, James Redfield's sequel to his new HE adventure, The Celestine Prophecy, I Was Amelia Earhart, Jane Mendelsohn's fictional memoir of the pioneering aviator, and Accordion Crimes, E. Annie Proulx's story of the different people who have owned the same polka-associated instrument. Meanwhile, nonfiction readers were picking up Bad As I Want to Be, an autobiography by attention-seeking basketball star Dennis Rodman. Comedian Jeff Foxworthy's collection of observations, No Shirt, No Shoes, No Problem, and I Lived to Tell It All, a memoir by country legend George Jones. Because people were still interested in the O.J. Simpson trial months after it ended, two books about the case were on the list. Outrage by Vincent Bugliosi, the former L.A. prosecutor best known for convicting Charles Manson, and In Contempt by Christopher Darden, one of the prosecuting attorneys in the actual trial. And in music, the following albums were released in July of 1996. Neil Young and Crazy Horse put out Broken Arrow. Nas released It Was Written. The Reverend Horton Heat released It's Martini Time. De La Soul dropped Stakes Is High. REO Speedwagon released Building the Bridge. Soul Coughing released Irresistible Bliss. I Mother Earth put out Scenery and Fish. Ween released 12 Golden Country Greats. Jimmy Eat World dropped Static Prevails. The Black Crowes put out Three Snakes and One Charm. Alice in Chains released Unplugged. Republica, Sublime, Mista, and Jawbox all released self-titled albums. And also out this month was that staple of all great record collections, None So Vile by Cryptopsy. Because you gotta have some technical death metal. You can't just have the non-technical kind. Anyway, now to the charts.
Below the top 40s.
This time we're looking below the top 40s to talk about a track that relates to things I mentioned in both the TV and book sections of my scene set. At number 75 in the US, it's Redneck Games by Jeff Foxworthy featuring Alan Jackson. Born in Atlanta in 1958, Jeff Foxworthy followed in his father's footsteps by working at IBM before getting into stand-up comedy in the mid-80s. He became known for his series of jokes ending in the punchline, "You might be a redneck," and had released two multi-platinum albums of his stand-up material. Redneck Games was the third single from his third CD, Crank It Up, the music album. Redneck Games is snippets of Foxworthy telling jokes about how Southerners would likely put their own stereotypical spin on the Summer Olympics, interspersed with verses sung by Jackson, one of the biggest stars of the 90s new country boom. I declare the reading of the lyrics officially open. Greetings, y'all, and welcome all you dang foreigners from other nations. Dear Lord, be with our guests and prepare them for the butt-whooping they are about to receive. The Olympics in Georgia. God, you know we're going to screw that up. I guarantee you when they let those doves go at the opening ceremony, there are going to be guys in the parking lot with shotguns. And we will not have a flame that big without a pig on it, I guarantee. Some fat guy going, dang good barbecue top of them stairs up there. They ain't got no handrail, be careful. Of all the games that the rednecks play, there's some crazy events. If you know about the redneck ways, then it makes perfect sense. Hell, the Olympic rings will just be five old tires nailed together. See, that's my fear. They're going to get the list of events. They're going to have no idea what half this stuff is supposed to be. Like for fencing, they'll be giving people baling wire and sheet metal. They'll probably have to cancel water polo after the first two or three horses drown. I tell you, instead of discus throwing, they'll be flinging Ford hubcaps. You can't blame them for the way they are, but you can sit back and grin. Because they'll do something that's so bizarre you'll want to see it again. If you could ever get into their minds, there's no telling what you might find. They just do things in a different way, all the games that the rednecks play. Apparently, his target audience couldn't get enough of being told how dumb they were, and Foxworthy was more than willing to give them what they wanted. As an outsider, I found it amusing enough, but actual self-identified rednecks seemed to love it and embrace it. Yeah, we are ignorant and dirty and insular, and we're damn proud of it. It was an extreme version of the saying, it's funny because it's true. Redneck Games peaked at number 66. Jeff Foxworthy had no further hits, but he would go on to star in a sitcom and a sketch show, release more albums, be part of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and host game shows. Most recently, he was seen in the 2022 Netflix special, The Good Old Days.
40-31.
Our first top 40 hit is the U.S. number 35, Tres Delincuentes by Delinquent Habits. Formed in Norwalk, California in 1991, Delinquent Habits consisted of rappers Kimo the Blaxican and Ives Irie, as well as DJ OG Style. Tres Delincuentes was the first single from their self-titled debut album. Tres Delincuentes, sorry about the pronunciation, is hip-hop with mariachi samples. I may go to juvie for reading these lyrics, but I'm going to do it anyway. I flex my brazos hardcore down for the clicker. Who's that emanating funk through the speaker? Bass gets to thumping, ruckus get to pumping. Who's that rockin' got the party start jumping? Blasting through, ha, no need for the booyah. Right hammer with the one knuckle I shot through ya. Step to the crowd, I feel the strain. Throw chingazos in the mosh pit, feel the pain. So don't get in my way, baby, because the Huero Loco came in here to play, baby. My shit will pump up this jam, hot damn, it's the baddest. Tres Delincuentes, step into the madness. Que andas muchacho y vienes te miro. I'm probably terrible. Si me tres bronca mi en loco de tiro. Mi paro te tumbo no es tu rumbo. Y con el lingo tal vez te confundo. Yeah, I'm pretty confundo right now. Oh shit, it's the attack of the 5'10", the Blaxican once again with the cocked hairpin. As I emerge from the depths of the realm, my son, I got the black gat, fat track, coke and rum. Otra vez ya lo ves and the crew somos tres. One Blaxican on the squad you don't test. Hitting hard like an Aztec, swift with like a Zulu. That's what it's like with a palm shot through you. My mannerism mild, still the punks get piled. My number one assassin flips the mad funk styles. Me, I play the back role, but I'm delinquente. This is how I freak it when I'm speaking to the gente. Hello, I'm your new Spanish teacher. No, I am not. Anyway, comparisons to Cypress Hill come easy, and that group's Sen Dog was an executive producer on this album. But they still have enough of their own voice to stand out. And in a later verse, they reference Charo, which as a kid who grew up watching The Love Boat, I greatly appreciated. Tres Delincuentes peaked at number 35. Delinquent Habits had no further hits, but they remained active, and their most recent album is 2017's It Could Be Round 2. Now we go to Canada for their number 38, Inside by Patti Rothberg. Born in New York in 1972, Patti Rothberg released her debut album Between the One and the Nine in April of 1996. Inside was the first single. Inside is folky alt-rock about feeling isolated. Let's open up the lyrics. I haven't done a thing today. I'm just sitting around wasting time away. And even if I wanted to, I can go outside. There ain't nothing to do. Ow. Think I'll write a letter home telling everybody that I'm happy alone. And maybe if I play the role, I can roll myself into a big black hole. I can roll myself on down the line, telling everybody that I'm just fine. My troubled mind I can't confide, though we are all insane. We are all the same inside. I've been thinking about my friends saying they'll be with me till the bitter end. I don't know how we can get that far when I don't even know who the hell they are. This song came out in the wake of Alanis Morissette's breakthrough, but before Sarah McLachlan's surfacing launched the Lilith Fair / female singer-songwriter boom of the really late 90s. Anyway, so its American audience was pretty much limited to alternative rock radio. She was probably a year too early for her own good. Inside peaked at number 15. It reached number 78 in the UK. Patti Rothberg had no further hits, but she continues to record and perform. Her 11th album, Pizza Box, came out in 2021. Our first UK hit is their number 37, She Said by The Long Pigs. Formed in Sheffield in 1993, The Long Pigs were signed to Mother Records, a label owned by U2. The first two singles from their debut album, The Sun Is Often Out, fell short of the top 40, but their next two did get into the top 40, prompting a re-release of this, the album's first single. She Said is Britpoppy rock, but harder and shoutier than average. I'm about to say the lyrics. There's no clothes I can buy make me feel like myself, she said. So I put on clothes to make me look like someone else instead. And as a matter of fact, I don't like to be seen because I'm not satisfied with myself, she said. You'd better hit her, she said, she said, she said, she's dead. There's no perfume I could buy make me smell like myself, she said. So I put on perfume to make me smell like someone else in bed. And as a matter of fact, I don't like to be scented. Because I don't like to smell myself, she said. You better hit her. She said, she said, she's dead, she said. But I'm not afraid of becoming more than pretty. While you're getting paid to wind yourselves up until you drop, yeah, there's no one I can talk to like I talk to myself, she said. So I play games to make them think I'm someone else. It's inbred. I have no idea where the you better hit her comes in. I don't know what that's supposed to say. Just stating that for the record. Anyway, I think these lyrics are a little too self-important. Hence. Anyway, but that's just me. Or maybe it isn't. And the music isn't attractive enough to cover it up, in my opinion. There are some bands who deserve to be more than Britpop footnotes, but based on this, I don't see these guys as being among them. She Said was down from a peak of number 16. The Long Pigs had two more hits and released one more album before breaking up in 2000. Guitarist Richard Hawley went on to a successful solo career, while singer Crispin Hunt unsuccessfully ran for European Parliament in 2019.
30 to 21.
Our first top 30 hit is Britain's number 24 song, Something for the Weekend by The Divine Comedy. Formed in Enniskillen, Northern Ireland in 1989, The Divine Comedy consisted of singer-songwriter Neil Hannon and an ever-shifting cast of backup musicians. The first three albums were successful on the indie scene, but they made their mainstream breakthrough when Radio 1 DJ Chris, not Captain America, Evans, began playing and raving about this, the first single from their fourth album, Casanova. Something for the Weekend is a song about a one-night stand gone wrong. I'll read lyrics any day of the week. Hello. Ooh, I say, how about a little kiss? Oh, don't be unkind. She said, there's something in the woodshed, and I can hear it breathing. It's such an eerie feeling, darling. He said, there's nothing in the woodshed. It's your imagination. End of the conversation, darling. Something in his heart told him to come clean. He was not who he claimed to be. Something in his genes told him to pretend. It was something for the weekend. Oh, come on, you know you want to, but she said, there is something in the woodshed. I know because I saw it. I simply can't ignore it, darling. So he said, now, baby, don't be stupid. Get this into your sweet head. There ain't nothing in the woodshed except maybe some wood. I'll go all the way with you if you'll only do the same for me. Go and see. If it's nothing like you say, then you can have your wicked way with me. Woo, weekend, it's something for the weekend. He went down to the woodshed. They came down hard on his head, gagged and bound and left for dead. When he woke, she was gone with his car and all of his money. This song reminds me a bit of something from an old-time Western movie. Musically. And the contrast between this and between the backing music and Hannon's soulful vocals give it a distinctive flavor. I've heard of this band, but I'd never actually heard them before I heard this, and this makes me want to check out more. Something for the Weekend was down from a peak of number 14. The Divine Comedy had 12 more hits, including one top 10. Neil Hannon has also written and performed the themes to the sitcoms Father Ted and The IT Crowd. The 12th Divine Comedy album, Office Politics, was released in 2019. Now it's the U.S. number 26, Blue by Leanne Rimes. Born in Jackson, Mississippi in 1982, Leanne Rimes began performing in musical theater at the age of 5, and she appeared on the talent show Star Search in the early 90s. She had already put out 2 independent albums before signing with a major label, and Blue was the first single and title track from her 3rd album. Blue was originally written and recorded in 1958 by Texas disc jockey Bill Mack. His version was a very minor hit, but a fellow DJ suggested it could be big if recorded by a female singer. It was eventually sent to Patsy Cline, but she died in a 1963 plane crash before hearing it. Mack would later hear Rimes and eventually decided to encourage her to record it. Well, here's the lyrics. Blue, oh so lonesome for you. Why can't you be blue over me? Blue, oh so lonesome for you. Tears fill my eyes till I can't see. 3 o'clock in the morning, here am I, sitting here so lonely. So lonesome I could cry. Now that it's over, I realize those weak words you whispered were nothing but lies. The arrangement is very much like the 60s countrypolitan sound that encompassed all of Patsy Cline's hits. And Rimes' vocals do little to discourage comparisons to the legend herself. I'm sure the idea of a young teenager sounding like one of the genre's giants was enough of a gimmick to get her started. But listening to this, it was still pretty clear that the talent was there for her to have a substantial career beyond that. Blue peaked at number 26. It hit number 23 in the UK. Leanne Rimes had 7 more hits, most notably the 1997 US number 2, How Do I Live, and the 2000 UK number 1, Can't Fight the Moonlight. Her 17th album, God's Work, came out last year. Now we're up to the number 24 song in Canada, Love You All by 5440. Formed in Saawasin, British Columbia in 1980, 5440 released their debut album in 1984, but they made their commercial breakthrough in 1992 with their 5th album, Dear Dear. They'd had 5 top 40 hits by the time they released this, the first single from their 7th album, Trusted by Millions. Love You All is a buzzy, fuzzy, alternative rock track. I shall affectionately read the lyrics. Breaking the pleasure, breaking it in all around the world. Measure for measure, getting it out. Got to let you know I love you, love you, love you all. Yeah, I love you, love you, love you all. Breaking the fences down. Yeah, forever, we're together. Got a reason and there's nothing can go wrong. I love you, love you, love you all. More than life, more than life, more than anybody can. More than wine, more than wine, more than anybody, yeah. Breaking the exit, I'm breaking my neck, I'm breaking over you. Break in the airwaves, yeah, calling out to you. These guys were reliable sources of steady, jagged CanCon rock for much of the 90s, but they never got enough traction to break the US or UK markets, nor did they get to the homegrown superstar status of the Tragically Hip. But they did get some secondhand international success, as I will discuss shortly. I'm going to discuss it. Anyway, Love You All peaked at number 20. Around this time, a cover of the band's 1986 single, I Go Blind, by Hootie and the Blowfish, which had been included on the Friends TV soundtrack, became a hit on American radio, and the royalties from that version helped 5440 build their own studio. 5440 had three more hits in Canada, and they remain active, with their most recent album being 2018's Keep On Walking.
2211.
Our first top 20 hit is the Canadian number 11, Everything Falls Apart by Dog's Eye View. Formed in Los Angeles in 1994, Dog's Eye View was fronted by New York native Peter Stewart after stints in a band called Gravity Beavers and as a solo artist. Everything Falls Apart was the first single from their debut album, Happy Nowhere. Everything Falls Apart is acoustic alt-rock. I'll try to keep it together while I read the lyrics. Don't look now, things just got worse. I'm drunk again. I swear this blessing is just a curse. I got here by killing off all my friends. I think I figured it out. My life begins when the fun ends. I've got my wings. I'm free to go as I please. Yeah, I got my wings. Now nothing really pleases me till everything falls apart. Then I try to put it back together. Yeah, it falls apart. And you can count on that. You can count on bad, bad weather again. Was it good? I don't remember much about it. When things start to feel right, you can count on me to start to doubt it. And the devil's not in the details. No, the devil's in my pants. Okay. And it's shoot first, ask questions later. Another quick end to a short-shod romance. Well, I got what I want. Now I don't want anything. Yeah, I got what I wanted. Now my life is just boring. It's kind of a catchy tune, but with downer lyrics. There's quite a few examples of this kind of mid-volume alt-rock in the 90s. We even covered one already this week with the Patti Rothberg song. And this one isn't one of the better ones, but at least it had that howler of a line about the devil being in his pants. Thanks. And then in the last verse, he just casually says, I met God this afternoon. Okay. This isn't great, but it's at least memorable in a way. Everything Falls Apart was down from a peak of number 6. It hit number 66 in the U.S. Dog's Eye View had no further hits, and they released one more album before Peter Stewart went solo again in 1999. He released one solo album, and then he reunited Dog's Eye View for one more album in 2008. Apparently now he's out of the music business, and he currently works as a therapist in Austin, Texas. Now it's the number 20 song in the United Kingdom, There's Nothing I Won't Do by JX. Born somewhere in Britain in 1974, Jake Williams began his producing and DJing career in the early 90s. He had his first hit in 1994, and he'd picked up one more before he put out this single. There's Nothing I Won't Do is housey dance music with female vocals. There are things I won't do, but one of them is not reading lyrics, as you well know. And so I don't know why, ain't no matter how hard I try, I can't wave my tears goodbye. There's nothing I won't do. Oh, baby, I think of you. My heart is on the line. Oh, baby, I get with you. My mind feels so fine. There's nothing I won't do. Anything you want me to. I can't keep my hands off you. There's nothing I won't do. Can't keep my hands off you. Can't keep my hands off you. Can't keep my hands off you. There's nothing I won't do. Songs like this, I feel I have to judge them in two ways. One, how much I enjoy it while hearing it in broad daylight, and how much I think I'd like it if I was at a rave, which I've never been to, and possibly while under the influence of a hallucinogen. My former verdict is that it's okay as these things go, but I wish it was less repetitive. As for the hypothetical other situation, my best guess is that I'd be whirling around with my arms outstretched like some sort of mad human airplane. Picture that, if you will. Or don't. There's Nothing I Won't Do was down from a peak of number 4. JX had one more hit. Then Jake Williams began making records under the name Rex the Dog. And he hasn't had any more mainstream hit singles. Now we're up to the U.S. number 20, Hey by Crucial Conflict. Formed in Chicago in 1993, Crucial Conflict consisted of rappers Kilo, Wild Style, Cold Hard, and Never. Hey was the first single from their debut album, The Final Tick. Hey is stoner rap that coins yet another euphemism for, you know, weed, grass, pot, the wacky tabacky, the devil's lettuce. Let's have a roll in some of the lyrics. Smoking on hay in the middle of the barn, sitting on a quarter pea of hay. Fangs is feeling good today. I'm tore up from the floor up, sipping on some Crown Royal, tripping in a circle of wood, where everybody smoke they own bud. Good old hay. How you feel today? Fine, bloated, and dandy. Silly, like I'm hype off candy. Got a big, thick chick named Sandy in the farm in the middle of the barn, where everybody's feeling crazy. I went to visit Granny's house. Now I see why I don't nobody leave. We constantly, constantly, constantly smoking bees. Too blitz to even shake it off, but I still got my head up. Pass the hay. Blaze it up so I can hit that bud. Get me zoned and I'll be on, because I love to smoke upon hay. This is like the audio equivalent of a really nice high. Kind of off balance, but in a good way. Carefree, mellow, obliviously relaxed. I was so relaxed I couldn't say the word relaxed. Almost to the point where listening to this song while indulging seems like it might be too much. But maybe I'll try it sometime. Anyway. Hey peaked at number 18. Crucial Conflict had no further hits before breaking up in 1999. They reunited in 2007 and released one more album and a single. Plus, they contributed to an album by Bulgarian rapper Big Sha. I think I need to hear that, if for no other reason than to verify the existence of a Bulgarian rapper.
Top Tens.
So our first top 10 record is the American number 8. Theme from Mission Impossible by Adam Clayton and Larry Mullen Jr. Born in Oxfordshire, England in 1960 and Dublin, Ireland in 1961, respectively, Adam Clayton and Larry Mullen Jr. are the bassist and drummer for U2. In 1996, the duo was hired, to rework the theme song from a 1960 TV series that was being rebooted as a film starring Tom Cruise. The theme from Mission Impossible is an electronic dance music version of Lalo Schifrin's famous tune. The one major difference is the time signature. The original is in 5/4 time, while this version is in the more conventional 4/4 time. The difference is best expressed like this. The original goes dump, dump, dun-up, dump, dump, dun-up, while this version goes dump, 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 dum 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 dum. Actually, I don't know if I expressed that well. Someone with actual musical expertise might express it better, excuse me. But unfortunately, my wife isn't here for this episode, so you're stuck with my explanation. Anyway, theme from Mission Impossible peaked at number 8. It hit number 7 in Britain and number 10 in Canada. Adam Clayton and Larry Mullen Jr. went back to U2 after this and have pretty much stuck to that since. Meanwhile, Tom Cruise's 7th Mission Impossible film, Dead Reckoning Part 1, was released this past June. We're back in Canada now for their number 4, Fast Love by George Michael. Born in North London in 1963, Georgios Panayiotou first found fame in the early 80s after anglicizing his name and teaming up with Andrew Ridgely to form Wham. After they broke up in 1986, Michael began a booming solo career, which was interrupted in the early 90s when he sued his record label to get out of his contract. After doing so, he signed a new deal, and Fast Love was the second single from his third solo album, Older. Fast Love is a slick and sophisticated dance track. I'll read the lyrics at a moderate pace. Looking for some education. made my way into the night. All that bullshit conversation. Baby, can't you read the signs? I won't bore you with the details, baby. I don't even want to waste your time. Let's just say that maybe you could help to ease my mind. Baby, I ain't Mr. Right, but if you're looking for fast love, if that's love in your eyes, it's more than enough. Had some bad love, so fast love is all that I've got on my mind. Ooh, ooh, baby, baby. Ooh, yeah, yeah. What's there to think about, baby? Ooh, ooh, baby, baby. Hey, baby. Oh, yeah. Looking for some affirmation. Made my way into the sun. My friends got their ladies. They're all having babies. But I just want to have some fun. This song also contains samples and interpolations, of Patrice Rushen's 1982 hit, Forget-Me-Nots. I do not know if Will Smith heard this and got the idea to use the same song in his theme for his movie Men in Black, but I like to think that he did. Anyway, I don't know why I like to think that he did, but that's what I'm saying. Fast Love peaked at number 4. It hit number 8 in the US and number 1 in the UK. George Michael had no further hits in North America, but he did pick up over a dozen more in Britain. He died of a heart condition on Christmas Day, 2016. And now here's Britain's number 4 hit, Tattva by Kula Shaker. Formed in London in 1995, Kula Shaker were fronted by Crispian Mills, the son of Hayley Mills, star of the original version of The Parent Trap. Tattva was the second single from their debut album, K. Tattva is Eastern-influenced psychedelic Britpop. Let's shake down some lyrics. Asintia beta abeta tattva, like the flower and the scent of summer, like the sun and the shine, while the truth may come in strange disguises, send the message to your mind. At the moment that you wake from sleeping and you know it's all a dream, well, the truth may come in strange disguises, never knowing what it means. Asintia beta beta tattva. For you shall be tomorrow like you have been today. If this was never ending, what more can you say? Okay. Apparently, the Sanskrit phrase in the chorus means truth, mystery, difference, non-difference, truth. What does that mean? Who knows? But it sounds cool. I think the reason this band was pushed as hard as they were because a record executive thought, well, if today's kids like Oasis doing their imitation of early Beatles, they're going to love these guys and their imitation of post-Rubber Soul Beatles. Yeah, I am very insightful into the thought processes of 1990s British record labels. I don't know if you know that about me. Anyway, Tattva peaked at number 4. Kula Shaker had 6 more hits, including 4 more top 10s, before breaking up in 1999. They reunited 5 years later, and they've since released 4 more albums, the latest being last year's wonderfully titled First Congregational Church of Eternal Love and Free Hugs. Okay. We'll count down the top 10s and look at a number 1 right after this. Hi, Roger Stroop here. As I'm sure you know, Old Man Yells at Music has a Patreon. I have for a while, but now I've streamlined it. 2 tiers and guaranteed bonus content at both levels. It's simple. And when you join, you will get a mention on the show. And I'll give you a song from my charts. You can tell your friends you have a hit. Just go on patreon.com/oldmanyellsatmusic, pick a tier, and sign up. You'll warm this old man's heart. Thank you. So our first top 10 recap goes to America. Number 10, Nobody Knows by the Tony Rich Project, the only hit for a Detroit singer. Number 9, Why I Love You So Much by Monica, her third top 10. Number 8, The Theme from Mission Impossible by Adam Clayton and Larry Mullen Jr. Number 7, Because You Love Me by Celine Dion, her second number 1. Number 6, Always Be My Baby by Mariah Carey, her 11th number 1. Number 5, Macarena Bayside Boys Mix by Los Del Rio, the Spanish group's dance craze starter. Number 4, Give Me One Reason by Tracy Chapman, her biggest hit. Number 3, How Do You Want It? California Love by Tupac, his only number one. Number two, You're Making Me High by Toni Braxton, her first number one. And the number one song in the USA this week was The Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony, the biggest hit for the Cleveland rap group. Now we have the British Top 10. Number 10, Always Be My Baby by Mariah Carey. Number 9, Where Love Lives by Alison Limerick, the biggest hit for a London singer. Number 8, Don't Stop Movin' by Livin' Joy, the second top 10 for an Italian group. Number 7, Jazz It Up by Reel to Reel, the third top 10 for the group that gave us I Like to Move It. Number 6, Oh Yeah by Ash, the second top 10 for a Northern Irish band. Number 5, Because You Love Me by Celine Dion. Number 4, Tatva by Kula Shaker. Number 3, Mysterious Girl by Peter Andre featuring Bubbler Ranks, the third hit for a British-born, Australian-raised singer. Number 2, Killing Me Softly by the Fugees, their smash Roberta Flack cover. And the number 1 song in the UK this week was Three Lions by The Lightning Seeds with Badil and Skinner, the still popular ode to England's national soccer team. And all that's left now is the Canadian Top 10. Number 10, Theme from Mission Impossible by Adam Clayton and Larry Mullen Jr. Number 9, Old Man and Me, When I Get to Heaven by Hootie and the Blowfish, their third number 1 here. Number 8, Flood by Jars of Clay, the only mainstream hit for the Nashville Christian Rockers. Number 7, You Still Touch Me by Sting, his ninth Top 10. Number 6, Killing Me Softly by the Fugees. Number 6, The Only Thing That Looks Good on Me Is You by Bryan Adams, his seventh number 1. Number 4, Fast Love by George Michael. Number 3, Give Me One Reason by Tracy Chapman. Number 2, You Learn by Alanis Morissette, her third number 1. And the number 1 song in Canada this week, and the one in our spotlight, was Ahead by a Century by The Tragically Hip.
Spotlight number 1.
I've talked about The Tragically Hip a couple times before. First, their 1998 hit Poets in episode 24, then their 1999 hit Bob Cajun in episode 102. Now I'm going back a bit to look at this, the first single from their fifth album, Trouble at the Hen House. Ahead by a Century is an acoustic rocker with the band's usual inscrutable lyrics. Technically, I am reading these lyrics in a different century. So, do with that what you will. Anyway. First thing, we'd climb a tree, and maybe then we'd talk, or sit silently and listen to our thoughts, with illusions of someday casting a golden light. No dress at rehearsal, this is our life, and that's where the hornet stung me, and I had a feverish dream with revenge and doubt. Tonight, we smoke them out. You are ahead by a century. You are ahead by a century. You are ahead by a century. Stare in the morning shroud, and then the day began. I tilted your cloud, you tilted my hand. Rain falls in real time. And rain fell through the night. No dress rehearsal. This is our life. Honestly, this is my favorite song of theirs. It has a strange beauty to it, and it's probably their best melody. And it may be the one that cemented Gord Downie as some sort of poet icon that only Canadians can truly appreciate. And I'm saying that with my tongue only partially in cheek. We, the hip, are an institution here. Anyway, this was the only week at number 1 for Ahead by a Century, and this was their only number 1. For more about The Tragically Hip, please go back to episodes 24 and 102. So how to sum up the pop music of July 1996? It was a good time for hip-hop, dance music, and acoustic-driven alternative. In the UK, Britpop was still going strong, in spite of Blur and Oasis both being between albums. Mariah and Celine were repping the Divas division, and two-thirds of the trio that sang the song from the Charlie Sheen Kiefer Sutherland Three Musketeers movie were in the Canadian Top 10. Wasn't the most exciting time, but not the least either.
Old Man Yells at You.
My first recommendation this week is the Divine Company compilation, Charmed Life. I definitely think this is a great add to anyone's base of pop knowledge. Then maybe you could watch Independence Day again. It's not a great film, but it's dumb fun cheese. Avoid the sequel, though. And finally, you could maybe find some clips of the Atlanta Olympics. If you're American, maybe you'll go for Michael Johnson or Kerry Strug. Brits might look up rower Steve Redgrave winning his fourth of five gold medals. Myself, I'll be reliving Donovan Bailey's two golds, especially the one he won in the relay with Bruni Surin, Glenroy Gilbert, and Robert Esme. That was a thing of beauty. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Old Man Yells at Music podcast. As always, if you like what you've heard, share, subscribe, and leave a review where you found it. You can also leave feedback on the Facebook page, which is at Mr. B Glovehead, or on the blog post for this episode, which is at bobbygloveskasey.blogspot.com, or you can check out the Instagram and Threads accounts, which are both at Old Man Yells at Music. And if you didn't get all of that, all of my links are on my Old Man Yells at Music link tree. As always, there's a companion YouTube playlist for this episode, which I will link to in the show notes. Also in the show notes is a link to my Patreon, where you can support the show and get all the bonus microdose episodes, including the latest with The Carpenters, and make my charts just like Mike Birmingham. All lyrics quoted are for the purposes of discussion and review. No infringement is intended. Next time on the show, our chart journey stops in the summer of 1975. Find out what might have been on the radio in the car during Jimmy Hoffa's last ride. Until then, I'm Roger Stroop, reminding you that the Old Man Yells at Music podcast is just too sweet! No, I'm not Kevin Nash. Anyway, stay safe.